Big hand today. They did a tremendous job, didn't they? Yeah. We often don't clap as good as they play, and as good as they sing. And so they did a tremendous job, and it just gets you all excited. There's one song there. I got so excited. I don't know if you heard, but I said it ought to make a dried up Baptist shout. My wife said it did. Thank you, honey. Amen. It did. All right. Will that drop you a notch? This week I've been praying for our young couples. I just really been encouraged by our young couples bringing your young children to church, and just want to encourage you to continue doing that. Just praying for our young people and their young families. It's so tremendous to watch these young moms and young dads working with their kids and bring them to church. And I know it's a struggle sometimes. We got young kids ourselves, amen. So I kind of know that struggle. Got one young kid right now, and some kids are that young. But anyway, I know there's a struggle there getting your children to church, and I just appreciate so much. And this morning I was back there. Little Josie was back there, Drew and Keisha, and picked up little Josie. I said, I didn't really come back to see y'all guys. I come to see Josie. And so anyway, I picked her up and gave her a little kiss on her cheek, and she started crying. I said, that's the same thing Beverly does every time. Amen. Amen. So anyway, we do appreciate you. We spent some extra time this week in prayer just thinking of you guys and thinking of all of our young families in our church family. And then this morning, just want to bring a message that I consider probably one of the most, or at least I hope it is. I don't want to put expectations on the word before I preach it, but I believe, I hope and pray it'll be a very encouraging message to all that's in the house. I hope it encourages you to walk closer with the Lord. I hope it encourages you to know that God is still on the throne, that He is still in control. Amen. No matter what you're going through, that He's sovereign God, and that He is a God who is coming again. Amen. He is coming again, and so we must be aware of that. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the first book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. And thank you for your continual pledging. We received another $22,000 worth of pledges this morning for our building program. So that brings us up to about $318,000. So we appreciate you giving and all your giving and all your pledging that you're doing and going to give, and we're excited about what God is doing. We've got a great crowd this morning. Children's Church looked like they had about 40 going throughout there, and so we need to pray for them. Appreciate Toddler's Church as well, and always the nursery. They always do a great job. Appreciate them as well. We'll try not to keep you a long time this morning, like a preacher one night was preaching at the church, and he's preaching. Finally, Brother Jim got up and started leaving. His pastor was back there in the back and said, Jim, where are you going? He said, I got to go get a haircut. He said, well, why didn't you get a haircut for church? He said, I didn't need one then. Amen. So I hope we don't keep you that long this morning that you need a haircut before we get done. All right. If you would, good, please stand with us. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. It's always better to see you smile. I don't know what it is. It makes me feel better. You don't look as mean. All that good stuff, but I am glad to see everybody here this morning. Thank you for joining us. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant. And I'm glad he stops there with a comma. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, and that which you are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which they are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive, that's us, we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for the comforting word of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can fellowship around your word, and God, that we can have joy in our hearts, knowing that you're in control, that you're a sovereign God, and God, that you're still on the throne, and God, you set and you make intercession for us today. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you still save. And so we pray, God, as Brother Benji's already made the statement, Lord, that for that lost person to be saved. We pray for that lost soul this morning, that they would come and give their life to you, Lord. And Lord, we pray for that one that's been saved. But Lord, for whatever reason's got too busy for you, Father, we pray, God, that they would understand the importance of serving you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Now, Lord, we ask for your anointing, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Here's Paul. He's writing this letter to a young church in Thessalonica. And when you think about the Bible, sometimes we often think of the Bible like the little boy that went to the museum with his father. And he went there. His father took him to the museum, this big, huge museum, to entertain him. And they walked around for about 2 hours. And the young boy, all he did was sigh and complain. And he finally looked at his daddy and he said, "Daddy, can we go someplace where things are real?" Sometimes we think about that in the Bible. We think it's just a museum or just a historical document that has nothing to do with our lives. And that is so far from the truth. I want you to understand that the Bible is alive, that the Bible is the living Word of God, and that it is alive, and that it is for you today, that this Bible is for you. And I pray that you would understand that this book holds the words of life in it, and it is alive. And Paul writes to real people with real problems here. And let me tell you something, we are real people with real problems on a real journey, and we serve a living Savior, and He is alive. Amen? He is alive. And here, Thessalonica, when you think about that city today still thrives today. There's 300,000 that live in that city in modern Greece this day. That city, a city that in World War I served as a base, a very strategic base for the Allies. In World War II, Germany took the city and took 60,000 Jews prisoner and had them all killed in the concentration camps. And so, but today there's 300,000 people still lives in the city. So it's a real place with real people, and we must understand this. And here, the church in Thessalonica was having some difficulties. They were having some discouragement. The Apostle Paul wasn't there. You read over there in chapter 3, he wasn't able to get there. He was hindered by the devil. And so he writes them a letter, and he tells them in chapter 1 of this letter, in the letter that he wrote to them, to send to them. You see, the church of Thessalonica did not have the Bible. They did not have the word, but they believed that Jesus was coming again, just like he said he would, and they believed that he was going to come, and all of a sudden some of the people started to die, and they started to have questions. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus was coming before we died. And so they was concerned about this. So Paul wrote a letter, and in verse chapter 1 he talked about it. He talked about how their salvation was true. Remember, without faith, in verse 3, without ceasing the work of faith, the labor of love, the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. And he tells them in verse 10 to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He says, Paul says to the church of Thessalonica, that Jesus will deliver you from the wrath to come. He is this coming again in chapter number 1. In chapter 2, he talks about how their soul winning and how the service of the Lord was important. And he says there in verse 19, "For what is your hope, your joy, your crown of rejoicing? Are you not even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy." He tells them in chapter 2 that Jesus is coming, that he is coming again. He tells them that their service is important. In chapter 3, he talks about having a stable Christian life. And he says at the end, in verse 13, "To the end to be maybe established, your hearts unblameable in the wholeness of our God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints." He says, stay strong, stay stable. Jesus is coming. In chapter 4, he says, "Don't be ignorant concerning them which are asleep." He said, "I wanted to tell you something." The Bible says in verse 17, "Which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." Some most encouraging words there are in the Bible. "In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." Comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming again. In chapter 5, he talks about the sanctification and how we are set apart. And he tells us over there in chapter 5, verse 23, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Can you get the theme here that the Apostle Paul said, "Listen, church, I want you to understand something. The Lord promised he's coming, and I want you to understand he is. I want you to understand he is. You may think he has been delayed, but I want you to understand that he wants to encourage us in his coming." Why? It will unify us. It will unite us. It will energize us. If we believe he's coming, it will encourage us to live a holy, sanctified life. It will encourage us to look up. I want you to look up. I want you to look to the heavens and understand Jesus is coming. This is how he says it. First of all, three things he says here in verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Amen. He says, "Listen, I'm telling you this from God's word. This is not my letter to you. This is God's letter to you. God gave me these words. I penned them down and I've sent them unto you." Listen, Subligna, this is not Charles Bishop's words to you today. This is the Lord's words to you today. And God said you need them this day. God knew who I was going to be here this morning. Oftentimes, what happens in church services like these, we hear a message and we say, "I wish old brother so-and-so was here to hear this. He needed this. I wish sister so-and-so was here. She'd need this." But you understand that God already knew who was going to be here when he gave the pastor the message. Amen. If they'd have been here, he gave me a different one. This was for you. Because he knew you was going to be here. He's all sovereign. We already said this. Look what he says. He says, "Them which are asleep." In other words, that word sleep means not the end. It means a place of rest. It means a place to sleep. Listen, I'm not talking about soul sleep here. That's not what the Bible here is presenting to us. But he's saying that the body's asleep. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a place of rest. It's kind of like a hotel. It's kind of a picture like a hotel. You just sleep in there, and then you're going to get up and leave. Praise the Lord for that. I hate hotels, by the way. I do. I hate them. I don't like staying in hotels. When you stay in a hotel, you stay in one room. I like to get up early. My wife likes to sleep a little later. I wake up at 4 o'clock every morning. I want to get up out of the bed. When I get up out of the bed, I wake everybody up. So I feel like I'm in prison when I'm in a hotel. We've been in a hotel this week, by the way. I don't like hotels. You can't ever get them regulated. They're always too hot or too cold. Especially if Brandy Nicole's in the room, it's too cold. But anyway, it's either too hot or too cold. You can't get up when you want to get up. You have to go to bed when everybody else goes to bed. I don't like that either. And they all serve eggs and ain't never seen the inside of a chicken. Amen. Yeah, they call it continental breakfast. Yeah. But here he's not talking about soul sleep. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8 to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. When someone goes to be with Jesus, their soul's right there with him. Amen. We can see that and understand that throughout the Bible. When the rich man died, the Bible said in hell he lifted his eyes. And Lazarus was found in the bosom of the Lord. Listen to me. We live in a world that's a few days and full of trouble. It's a few days and full of trouble. But we got to understand something. This ain't the end. This ain't the end. Christians don't need to drive up stakes too deep. Why? Because one day we're going home. Amen. Don't drive up stakes too deep. One day, that's why, you know, you can tolerate a hotel. You ain't going to stay there forever. Amen. You're getting out. Getting out of prison. Praise the Lord. Listen to me. We must understand something here this morning. Paul wrote a letter to a church because this church was having problems because they lost somebody in the church, maybe several somebodies. But let's just use our mind's eye and just our imagination and think in that church, maybe this special couple in that church, and they've been in the church for a while, and they'd been saved, they've been watching, waiting for the Lord, and all of a sudden the husband dies. And it leaves the wife there. It leaves her there without her husband, and all of a sudden she's brokenhearted because she says, wait a minute, I didn't know that we was going to die. We was all going to go. Jesus is going to come and get us. We weren't supposed to die. And then Paul writes this letter. Can you imagine when they opened this letter and they got to this part? For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Don't you think that sister shouted, woo! Because she ain't never read that before. She never heard that before. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Paul reconfirmed it. That we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Listen, can you imagine when that right there was read to her, how she must, her soul must have flooded. Listen, for all of us who have lost loved ones and have loved ones on the other side, it ought to flood our soul. Listen, that they're in a better place, that they're not hurting. Oh, that they're with the Lord. And one day we shall ever be with the Lord with them. Verse 17, I love it, says, together with them. Glory. One day. Be encouraged, my beloved brother. Be encouraged. Why? Because Jesus Christ came and died. He came, was born in this world. He lived a sinless life. But he died a sinner. He died carrying all of our sins. The Bible says to us over there in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5. In verse 21, the Bible tells us there that the Lord Jesus Christ took on him, the Bible says, who made himself to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous of God in him. Because of him, we can be saved today. Because of him, we are saved today. Because of him, he gave his life. Listen to me. Look up. He's coming again. Why? Because he rose from the grave. Understand these words, what the Apostle Paul said over there. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal put on immortality. Then this corruptible shall put on corruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul could pin these words down, because Jesus gave us the victory. Amen. We have the victory through his life. Listen, the Bible says that one day
Jesus is going to call his church home. Amen. And one day you're going to call us out of here. When's that day going to be? Well, it could be today. It could be right now. And then one day the Bible says that he's going to come back with the church. Over there in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, he said, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. In the righteousness does the judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. His name was written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed and dipped in blood. His name was called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed after him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Amen. White and clean. Oh, just like them kids walking out them cows, white and clean. Amen. Listen, we're going to leave like Superman, come back like the Lone Ranger. Amen. One of these days. So where you get that? Right there from the scripture. So don't drive up stakes too deep. Don't drive them too deep. Paul talked to the church over there in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, he tells us, let us consider one another in verse 24. Provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as we see the day approaching. Notice just what he says here, as we see the day approaching. Listen, we got it backwards nowadays in the world. Nowadays, people want to do less church. They want to do less church. Church ain't important to them no more. Coming to church ain't important no more. Why we got to have church? Why you got to go to church on Sunday morning? Why you got to go to church on Sunday night? Why you need church on Wednesday night? We're going to do less church. But here Paul says, do more church. He says here in verse 25, not to forsake assemble ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. He's coming. He's coming.
Amen.
Or do more church.
Yes.
I told Brother Gary and him last Sunday, and I appreciate Brother Jason and Brother Tommy last Sunday taking care of the church. While we were away, I told Brother Gary and him last Sunday, the reason God ain't sending revival is not because he don't want to. We can't trust the church to do what it's supposed to do with it. God sent a revival and said, you got to come back tonight. Oh. God sent a revival and said, you got to come back tomorrow. Oh. God said, you're right, we got to come back Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday night, Friday night. Oh my, Saturday night church. You read the revival of Wales in 1904. They went to church for 2 years, every day for 2 years. 100,000 souls saved in 6 months. You say, they didn't have nothing else to do then. I'm sure they had as much to do as we have to do today. Amen. When you pray for revival, you better be careful what you pray for. Amen. I am praying for revival. I'd love to see a great revival. And I believe America needs a great revival. I believe we need a revival throughout the land. But listen, we don't need to drive up stakes too far, because the Bible teaches us that Jesus is coming. If you look in the book of James in chapter 5 and verse number 9 there, the Bible speaks of that, where he says the judge stands at the door. Grudge not one against another, brethren. Amen. I like that. Let me read that again. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. The judge is standing at the door. At the door. Romans 13, verse 11 says, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. When did you believe? I got saved at 17 as well, Brother Benji. When did you believe? Titus tells us that teaching ourselves, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. This is how we are to live in the present world, looking for that blessed hope, that glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. Paul tells young Titus there how we are to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, how this world needs to see some godly people living out what God has called us to do. And he says we're going to be caught up together in the clouds. That word caught up means rapture. Rapture. How can you be raptured? Well, number one, you got to be saved. Number two, you got to be alive. Number three, you got to remain. Hey, man, you're going to be raptured. That word means to be seized away, to be caught away speedily. Gone. The rapture took place to here right now. The church would be empty, we pray, if we're all saved. If not, the rest of you have church tonight. It means to be seized by force. You see, the old devil wants to hinder you. He wants to mess you up. He wants to trip you. It means to move to a new place. The Bible says, I go on to prepare you a place. A new place. Hey, man, it's going to be brand new. Ain't nobody ever lived in your house that you're going to be living in. Y'all have a brand new home. Amen. Yeah. That's kind of exciting. You're going to be rescued from danger. It means to be rescued from danger. Church ain't going to have to go through that tribulation period. The Bible tells us that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. He's going to save us from the wrath of God. Listen, when the church leaves, tribulation is going to come. The first 3.5 years is going to be kind of peaceful. But that last 3.5 years is going to be hell on earth. Yes, but the church is going to be gone up into the heavens. But listen, are you ready? You see, the Bible says that the Lord himself shall come. The Bible says he shall descend from heaven, what? With a shout. That word shout means a command or to order. It was what the word that Roman generals used to ask their company when it was going to war. Are you ready? Are you ready? And then the commanders and the leaders of the units would word back, we're ready! We're ready! Here the shout goes out. The Bible says with a shout with the voice of an archangel. God shouts to the archangel, to the angel, are you ready? And he's going to say, yeah, I'm ready! But he shouts to you today, are you ready? And if you can't shout back, I'm ready, preacher, then you ought to come this morning and give your life afresh to the Lord. With all of my heart, folks. Listen, this day is going to come. I know preacher's been preaching Jesus is coming for thousands of years. Ever since he left, I believe with all of my heart, Paul believed that he was going to come before he died. Look what he said in verse 17. Then we, which are alive. Paul wrote this. So Paul is a part of that we. Paul believed that he was coming before he died. He didn't come before he died, but he believed he did. He believed he was. Listen to me. I believe with all my heart he's going to come before I die. Is he? I don't know, but I got to believe that. Because believing that will help me to live the life I need to live for him. It'll keep me on the urgency that I need to reach out and touch people and tell them about Jesus. You see what he says here? He says, are you ready? And he shouts it out because we're going to be caught up together with them. You see, death is the separator and Christ is the reconciler. Amen. Jesus loves to reunite. I thought of this. Where's a picture in the Bible where it shows God reuniting loved ones together? And I thought of Lazarus. Yeah, come out of the tomb. I thought of that, how Lazarus said to him, Lazarus come forth. And he come out. He was reunited with Martha and Mary. But that wasn't the picture I was looking for. Then I thought about it. When Jesus in Luke chapter 7, when he was going into town there and he met a funeral procession,
procession. He met a funeral there, and it was a widow, and she was buried her only son. And the Bible says that Jesus met him, and he reached over there and he touched the casket. He just touched it a little bit, and the little boy rose up. And then he took the little boy and he delivered the little boy to his mama. Woo! I don't know about you, but that is the picture that I get when Jesus is going to reconcile us to our families. He's going to take this little boy right here, I don't matter how old I am, and he's going to deliver me to my mama one day. Woo! I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready. Come, Lord Jesus, come now. Are you ready? He says, come to me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What did you need today, folks? Are you ready to go? Are you ready for Jesus to come? If Jesus came today, would he be coming for you? Be serious now as our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, we come with a song of invitation. Listen to me. You must be ready. The shout's going to come. Are you ready? Oh, what would be your response this morning? What would you respond this morning? Would you say, I'm ready, preacher? I'm ready as our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, God speaking to your heart. What about it this morning? Paul writing to this church. This church brokenhearted over losing loved ones. This church brokenhearted over the way of life. And I know some of us lost loved ones. And our heart still breaks. But oh, I know that our loved ones is in a place called heaven. There with our Lord, and one day they're going to come back with him. We're going to be called up together in the clouds together. Oh, we're going to have a great reunion time. Jesus is going to deliver us to those. He loves to repair broken families. He loves to repair broken friendships. If you're here today and your family's broken, God can repair you. If you're here today and you have a broken friendship, God can help you. If you're here today and your life is broken and you don't know Jesus, God can save you. Whatever your need is this morning, I pray you would come. I pray you'd let this be your day that you say, I want Jesus. I want Jesus 100%. I want to totally surrender to him. I just going to follow him for the rest of my days. Father, help us in this invitation time. I pray that lost soul would come. I pray that person that's saved and not living the life they ought to live would come and make themselves ready. Lord, you tell us in Matthew chapter 24, no man knows the hour or the time, so be you therefore ready. I pray right now that everybody in here be ready, ready. Are you ready? Can you say, I'm ready? If you're not, can't say that, you ought to come, say, well, get ready. Because I don't want to be left behind. The Bible says one, two will be in the field, one taken, one left. Two will be in the house, one taken, one left. Two will be in the church, one taken, one left. Don't be left behind. Don't be left behind. You ought to come, get ready, ready. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you right now stand as these are praying? Come get ready. Come get ready.